Welcome to this evening's episode of Atlantic Tales, when we visit the Byrne College of Art in stunning Newtown in North Clare. The Byrne College of Art is a small independent art school situated on the Wild Atlantic Way on the northwest coast of County Clare. The college was co-founded in 1993 by Mary Hawksgreen and her husband, the late visionary, entrepreneur and sportsman Michael Green. Michael was passionate about the Byrne and he had a broad and clear vision in establishing the Byrne College of Art, which he wanted to become the greatest little art school in the world. Michael Green died young and unexpectedly, but his dream lives on. His wife and college co-founder Mary Hawks Green has worked hard to ensure this and has seen the Byrne College of Art establish itself as a vibrant, internationally recognised artistic educational centre. Mary, who is college president, grew up in Askeaton in County Limerick, where her mother was also a teacher.
When I grew up, she was principal of the secondary school I attended. So education was clearly very, very important in our family, and it was the be-all and end-all, actually. I didn't like the fact that she was principal of the school I went to. I found that really, really tough. And to be honest, I wanted to do nothing else but get the hell out of Askeaton and Limerick and Ireland and go as far away as I possibly could, which I did, and travelled extensively in my youth, and actually thought I would want to live overseas. I became a teacher along the way. There wasn't really an option. It was kind of what you were to do. And I did teach. I taught in Dublin for a while. I taught in Naas. And then eventually I taught in Gort. I taught travelling children, actually. It was the first time that travelling children were being educated. And I found I was much more interested in teaching children that were kind of outside of the mainstream system. That's what I did when I came to, when I was living in the Byrne, I was teaching in Gort. But I had always wanted to live overseas and loved travelling. And yeah, even in my youth, on my own, I travelled to the Middle East and the Far East. My parents must have been terrified because at that time there was no email or anything else, and I was gone for months and months and months at a time. And it was that, I suppose, that gave me the understanding of how important travel is for people and in finding out who you really are, that it's just a really valuable experience. And that's reflected in the fact that in the college here we have a lot of students who are studying abroad. I totally value the experience, I think, of studying abroad as students. I just think it's an invaluable experience, because for me, it kind of helped me to find out who I was. Even though I thought I wanted to live overseas and spent all of my years traveling, one summer, I stayed in Ireland for the summer because my father was unwell, and decided to do all the things that everybody else did, like going to the races and the Rose of Tralee and all those great things that I had missed out for years. And I'd never been to the Byrne, believe it or not. Our family holidays were always taken in Mayo, so we kind of skipped the Byrne. But there was a wine and food festival in Ballyvaughan way back in, I think it was early 1980s. Noel O'Loughlin, who now has the distillery up the back road, he was always ingenious in coming up with innovative ideas, and he had this wine and food festival that I decided to come to for the weekend. And I still recall the moment I came coming over the road from Corrifin, the first sight of the Byrne. And I just thought, this is not like anywhere else that I know. This isn't the Ireland I know. And then I spent a weekend here that was just totally magical, absolutely magical. It was helped by the fact that there were wine producers all over the place and we were drinking wine. The sun was out. There was a full moon, I have to say. And I did meet the man of my dreams in the pub. And that was Michael Green, who was at the time serving behind the bar in Highlands Hotel. And our eyes met, and I suppose the rest is history. It was 3 years later I ended up here, married to Michael, and that's where our adventure began.
Mary was very impressed by the Byrne, but was a little reluctant to relocate there permanently from Dublin. It took some persuading, but she finally did.
I remember he said to me, I'm giving you the opportunity to live in the best place in the world, and you just don't know it yet. And he was so right. He was so right. But it did take me a while to get to appreciate that. And the longer I'm here, the more I appreciate it. But we did eventually get married in 1984, but I continued to work in Dublin. I wasn't ready to relocate. So I lived in Dublin and commuted every now and again to Ballyvaughan for the first year, and then eventually we were expecting our first baby, and I finally moved to Ballyvaughan in 1985. And we had built our own house in the village. Michael was working in the hotel. I got a job teaching in Gort. Then suddenly, quite surprisingly, this property became available. I had always admired Newtown Castle. You know, at the time it was in ruins. It had no roof, and all it was falling apart. And it basically was used as a place to keep sick animals. But I'd always admired it, but just thought, wouldn't that be wonderful if somebody restored that someday? But then, by a series of very just coincidences or whatever, the land and the property became available. And by 1987, 1988, Michael and I had acquired the Newtown house, which was falling down at the time, the castle, which was definitely falling down, and just the 26 acres surrounding it. We thought, well, it might take our lifetime. Wouldn't it be lovely to restore the castle? But that would take a lifetime. Meanwhile, we set about restoring Newtown house, which was really in bad repair. All the roof had to be taken off, and all the floors and everything. That took us 2 years or more. And we ran it as a bed and breakfast, as a guest house for a while, to try and cover the cost of the renovations. But it was while we were there that suddenly the idea came to Michael. He was a very definitely an ideas person. And I think it's interesting that it was one day while he was building the wall in the driveway going up, he was like all burn people, he knew how to build walls. He came up to me with a rock in his hand, and I remember it was a May evening, it was a beautiful evening. I was outside with, we now had two babies, and he said, we're going to have an art school here, and it's going to recruit students internationally, it's going to grant degrees, and it's going to be the best little art school in the world. At the time, we hadn't a penny. We were big in debt. We had two small children. I was teaching full-time. He was working in the family hotel full-time. And we were up to our ears with this. And I just said to him, for God's sake, Michael, dream on. You know, you can't do this kind of thing. And he said, I said, Michael Wood, we'll see. And before I knew it, I'd come home from school, and he was on the phone to presidents of colleges in America and somebody here, there and everywhere. The train had left the station, because that was how Michael was. He was a visionary, and he set his mind to this, and we, you know, and yeah, went from there. And then we were fortunate that at the time we worked with Shannon Development, who were very, very supportive. And we got funding for a feasibility study. So we spent, that took a year, where we had a consultant in the US. We always knew that it would be for international students, because obviously there was enough provision for art colleges in Ireland, you know, with state-supported art schools. So we always knew this would be about bringing additional people into the area. And Michael was very conscious of that, because growing up in the family hotel, he was very conscious of the fact that, you know, it was a big glut for 3 months of the summer, and then obviously the winter there was nothing going on. Like, he was very aware, I suppose, of all of the valuable things in the Burren, because he grew up with all of the specialists and archaeologists and artists and creative people who stay in the family hotel. And clearly Highlands at that point was like, you know, it's like an extension of their family. They knew all of the guests who were staying, and Michael grew up knowing that and meeting all these people. And he was very, very aware of how special the Burren was, and very, very conscious of appropriate development. You know, around that time, there's a lot of, well, what we might say, mm-hmm, inappropriate development going on, just build kind of haphazard kind of buildings and so on. Michael and lots more in the Ballyvaughan community were very conscious and careful that Ballyvaughan should be developed appropriately. So the idea of education, where people are, the right kind of people are being brought in, it's bring additional income into the area. You know, we would have year-long courses, so we would be using accommodation that was otherwise empty in the wintertime. And that, you know, the idea of bringing in artists, they were people who would be good for the area. They were coming for the right reasons and would appreciate it. So all of these ideas kind of, I suppose, were the background to the concept of the college. And then we did a feasibility study and discovered there was a market actually in the US for students traveling, studying abroad for a semester. And so with that knowledge, we then applied, with the help of Shannon Development, for ERDF funding to build the college. And you know, we got some funding from there. Obviously, we had to raise the rest of the money ourselves. And we built the college from scratch.
If Mary and Michael were to establish an art college from scratch, they were determined to get it right, and so they enlisted outside expert help.
We had to get an education consultant over from the US who was very well regarded in US education circles at the time. And when he came over and saw a greenfield site, and he was so excited at the concept of building an art school from scratch and getting back to the foundational principles of allowing people to be in an environment that would enable them to really get in touch with their creativity. He and his wife sold up their house in America and came over and lived in Ballyvaughan for 5 years, and he was our founding dean. And so he set up a program that was tough and had very rigorous standards, but met all the accrediting requirements in the US. And because he was in charge of the academic program and he was so well respected, we got a kind of immediate credibility within the US, which was amazing. So the college has just had a whole lot of serendipitous kind of things like that happen. It's been amazing, like when you set, you know, something that I suppose is pure and good, and then the universe conspires to make it happen. And what seemed like an impossibility, I mean, when we had our 20th anniversary, actually, Fintan O'Toole was here, and he's on our board, and he spoke about just that this was the realization of the impossible, you know. But yeah, it's here, and we're 28 years old now, and it's just fantastic to see the number, you know, the fact our studios are full, our programs are full, people are coming from all over the world here now. But our founding principles of providing time and space and inspiration, and of the Burren being the catalyst for all of this, and of respecting the Burren, they remain solid in terms, you know, that's just what we're built on. And I think more than ever now, this post-COVID, and I feel people are yearning for places like this and for the kind of education provision we have, which is very much individual teaching, individual learning, and we provide huge studio spaces, which is what, you know, artists absolutely love. You know, it's local, but we're very connected globally. We bring in international visiting artists to work with students. It's always a great mix of undergraduates, postgraduates, professional artists. They're all in the mix, because that's what makes up our kind of the community of the college. And being small and agile, we can do kind of innovative things that other bigger places can't do. So we're very fortunate that our degrees are accredited by the University of Galway, who've been our partners now for the last 15 years. So all the academic rigor and all that is taken care of, and a lot of what would be bureaucratic work is kind of taken care of in that way. So it's great having the might of a prestigious university like Galway behind us, but we're totally independent and we're a charity and not for profit. It's a nice model. Most interestingly, being small and independent allows us to really be innovative. So in recent years, we've really focused on ecological issues and environmental issues. We were doing it before it became, well, you have to do it. We're in the Burren, you know, it's on our, you see such a delicate environment, and it's our duty to work with that and to develop awareness around that. So we've developed a lot of courses in art and ecology. We've got an MA and an MFA in art and ecology, and some PhD students as well. And that's really something I'm very proud of, because it's right and it's good and it's consistent with our values. And what's more, it's gaining traction, and it's attracting a lot of students who want to work in a place like this, in an environment like this that's so incredible.
Coming up, we'll hear more about the fascinating story of determination that saw a small independent art college established in rural Clare. Welcome back to Atlantic Tales. The Burren College of Art is a small independent art school situated on the Wild Atlantic Way on the northwest coast of County Clare. It was co-founded by husband and wife team Mary Hawkes Green and the late Michael Green. Conor McGrady is an artist from Northern Ireland and Dean of Academic Affairs at the Burren College of Art. He is also a practicing artist who studied in England before moving to the United States.
I ended up spending around 18 years in the US, about 6 in Chicago, 12 in New York. And as well as being a practicing artist, keeping up my own artistic practice, taught in Chicago and I taught in New York and in art schools in both cities. So that background in the US, the familiarity with the US educational system, art education, I was able to bring some of that here when I relocated to the Burren around 9 years ago. Since we get a lot of students who come from the US system, I was very familiar with that. So my background sort of in between Ireland, UK, US, and that all comes into the mix.
And how did you find yourself on this great big slab of limestone in the Burren?
Well, it's funny, but I was living in New York, I was living in Brooklyn, and a friend of mine who's an art historian emailed me and said there was this great little art school in the west of Ireland and they're looking for a teaching fellow. And I looked it up and it was, I said, oh yeah, Burren College of Art, I know that place, because when I was in Chicago as a student, a lot of the faculty in Chicago kept mentioning when they would hear that I was Irish, they would hear, oh, you must be familiar with Burren College of Art. And I said, I'm not aware of it at all, you know. And to be honest with you, I'd never even been to Clare. So, but about 20 years ago, actually on my honeymoon, we were driving, wife and I were driving, we did a drive down the West Coast, long before it became known as the Wild Atlantic Way, but we did a drive and we actually tried to find the college on that, at that point, and without any success, I have to say. But I remember saying, oh, there's this college, there's this art college here, we should go and see it. As it turns out, my friend recommended it, and sure enough, there was an application put in for the teaching fellow, and I was successful at that application because I thought, well, it would be nice to reconnect with Ireland, even though a different part of Ireland than I'm from originally, but also to connect with the West Coast and to get to know this place that everyone in Chicago had been raving about all those years ago. So that's what brought me here originally as a teaching fellow. I came in to teach painting and drawing, and I was here for one academic year doing that. And I think the lure of the Burren and just the Atlantic coast and this landscape and this place and the incredible sense of community here really spoke to me in a sense. And I thought it would be great to find a way to stay. And as it turns out, the previous dean was moving into retirement. So it turns out that I did have a way to stay. I ended up becoming the new dean. And I'm still here. The small scale of it makes it an alternative to mainstream arts education, which tends to be in cities and urban environments. So we're the only rural arts school in Ireland. I mean, some of the other art schools have programs, you know, Shirk in Ireland and you know, they do rural engagement, but we're the only rurally based arts school in Ireland. And if you take Europe as a whole, there are not very many small scale art schools located in rural environments. So I think the small scale means that there's an incredible sense of community amongst the staff and the students and the immediate locale, the area around Ballyvaughan. So the community is a core aspect of that, but also the fact that we're in a place like the Burren, a protected environment, this incredible karst limestone area, which has been a magnet for writers, botanists, scientists, ecologists, environmentalists for decades and decades, if not centuries. So having that sense of community in the context of this incredibly complex and inspiring place, I think is what makes the college unique. And I think what you find, we get students who, you know, many of our students come from cities, they come from urban backgrounds, and they're looking for an alternative. They're looking to find an engagement with a slightly slower pace of life. They're looking for a sense of finding who they are as artists, finding their own voices, and maybe also looking for a way to engage with the environment, the natural environment. Especially at the moment, we're in a situation, you know, of climate precarity with the climate crisis. So students have an opportunity to really become familiar with ecology and different ways of working that addresses that. So I think that marks us out as being somewhat unique in that context, and that's what we find, that that's what the students really respond to. That
the collaboration between the former NUIG, now the University of Galway, and the Burren College of Art was a significant milestone. the college had already established an international reputation, and while it remains independent, its postgraduate programs are accredited by the University of Galway.
Well, we've had this partnership now going on for 20 years, and that was originally based around setting up postgraduate study. Because I think in the early days of the college, we've been taking groups from abroad, groups primarily from the US, undergraduate students. And I think there was an appetite and a hunger for postgraduate study. And I think, so that partnership with the university has been really beneficial in that respect. So not just the academic accreditation, but the fact that we have this relatively new degree in art and ecology. We were one of the first college in Europe to offer a master's degree in art and ecology that brings science and studio-based art together. It merges them. I mean, there've been some other examples in the US, and now as we see, maybe we were a trailblazer in this respect. You have other programs now in the UK and in different parts of Ireland that are looking at art and ecology. But it was thanks to that partnership with the university who was supportive and encouraging of these new initiatives to bring science and visual art, studio art together in that respect. So that's been a big plus. And also at the doctoral level, we introduced a PhD around 12 years ago, the PhD in studio art. And that's with the support of the university, and that program has grown exponentially. So now we have currently 10 PhD students enrolled. We have a new MPhil, a Master's in Philosophy degree. And so I think that academic backing from the university and the support for a small independent school as we are to try new programs, new ways of working, new combinations to sort of enhance the educational offerings, I think has been mutually beneficial for both organisations.
The Burren College of Art is unique in many ways and attracts students from all over the world. The location of the small independent college on the edge of the Burren is a big attraction for students, even if for some they are stepping into the unknown, something which the college encourages.
It's radically different, and I think, for students who want to come here, they take a significant risk, because really we encourage them to step out of their comfort zone by coming here, and they show that by wanting to come here and study here, that they're willing to take that risk. They're willing to move away from what they're used to, whether they're in the US, different parts of Ireland, the UK, or we have students from China, from Greece, we have students from Jordan, from India, from all over, from different parts of Africa. And to show that they're up for that challenge to be somewhere different, to be in a completely different environment, way outside their comfort zone. And also that what the college, we don't have tons of bells and whistles in terms of high-tech equipment. We're very pared back, we're very DIY. We're really about, taking students in at the level they come in, asking them to find out who they are as artists, who they are as human beings. What is it that they want to say? How do they want to say it? Why is it important to say that? So I think that pared back, that sort of basic approach to asking those questions in the context of this incredible environment where there isn't a lot of distraction, where you can be more reflective, you can engage with the landscape, you can engage with the history and the sense of place and the geology and the ecology of the environment, and bring that into the studio. I think it's a big draw for students. So I think, again, that sense of wanting to be close to nature, wanting to be free from the stresses and the overstimulus that you often get in an urban environment, I think the fact that we're a radical alternative to that is a big draw for students. And what that means is that it allows them the space to find out who they are as people, who they are as artists, and to work on what it is they want to say, what they want to communicate as artists.
Lindsay LeBlanc is an Art and Ecology Master of Fine Arts student at the Burren College of Art. Originally from Massachusetts in the US, Lindsay later moved to Arizona, but keeps being drawn back to the Burren. It's not her first time here.
I have had a relationship with the Burren College of Art since I was an undergraduate 13 years ago. Came here for undergraduate study abroad program. Basically have been thinking about the Burren and making art here throughout my artistic career ever since. So now I'm back here pursuing an MFA in art and ecology, and I work primarily with glass. So I've been blowing glass for 14 years, and the school is accommodating a glass blowing studio that I brought in 6 suitcases to Ireland. Been here for a year. I'm on my final year now. I just absolutely love making work in this kind of an environment, landscape, small studio, small community. I knew I wanted to do a study abroad program, and I knew I wanted to come to Ireland. I have ancestral roots here, and I found this place on the internet and decided that this would be perfect. Step outside of the city and see what kind of work can be made in a my work's very inspired by and in relation to natural forms and botany particularly. The Burren is a really unique place for botanical life.
So you were here once, you came back for round 2.
Technically this is round 3 actually. I came back three years ago for a residency. The school offers a alumni residency award, and I applied for that. After years of commercial practice in the art world, in the glass world, a lot of traveling throughout the United States, and then I kind of decided I needed to get focused again. So I came back here for a reset, for a residency, and it was a 3-month program. And after that, I was like, 3 months is not nearly long enough. I need more time. So here I am.
Do you remember your first day arriving here at Newtown Castle and Burren College of Art? What do you remember of that, your very first time here?
I mean, I felt like I had stepped back in time and on another planet all at the same time. It's just so incredibly inspiring. The weather changes, the light changes, like every day that I come to school, it's something different. Like the landscape is never the same here. So it's just very conducive to a creative environment. The first time that I arrived in Ireland, it was 2009, 2010, and there had been a freeze. And so I was stuck in the airport for like 8 hours because all of the roads were frozen over. And I remember thinking, wow, this is hilarious coming from Massachusetts and Boston, where when it snows, you just got to deal with it, you know? But it seemed like the whole country kind of took a breath and took a break and made sure that everything was safe and good to go before everybody could start working. And that was kind of a nice paradigm shift coming from a very competitive, fast-paced place.
When you have finished your 3 terms here at this stage, what do you hope to do? What's the plan? Where do you take all of this experience in education? Into teaching yourself or into working full-time as an artist? What's the plan?
Well, I'm kind of a go-with-the-flow kind of person. I'm trying to make sure that I have a few plans in motion. I think that this program is so unique in the sense that it's very long-term, research-driven practice. So my last 10 years working professionally in the art world has been very commercially charged. So after a year of like researching and writing and reflecting and planning and, you know, not just making work with the intent to sell, but making ongoing bodies of work based on my research, I would like to continue that practice, and I would like to stay in Ireland as long as I can. So I guess I'm just trying to network and make connections and get some really good experience with some grant writing and practice speaking and communicating about my work so that I could work alongside different organizations in Ireland, Arts Council. I've been working with the Botanical Gardens in Dublin. I just had a piece on exhibit there. And I'm hoping to propose a bigger project involving botanical collections from like the 1800s onward that I've been researching here in Ireland. So like herbariums and books, but with glass.
Catherine MacDonald hasn't traveled as far to attend the Burren College of Art. Catherine is from County Wexford and is also an MFA student at the Burren College. She always knew she would study art.
Yeah, I think I've always loved art when I was a kid, and I come from quite an artistic family, so it's always been there. And I don't really think I ever doubted that I wanted to study art when I left school. I did have a really big interest also in biology and ecology when I was younger, so it's really nice to be here and to kind of blend the two together. I work a lot with multimedia installation, so I like to make kind of large scale spaces that people can walk around and experience. So I work a lot with natural materials that I collect from here, that I collect and forage. So I work a lot with clay that I would collect down by the sea and filter. I work with bioplastic that I make from seaweed. I collect things like seawater, salt. I've been working a lot with gold leaf lately too. So I kind of like to mix all of them together in sort of loosely created narratives and then allow people to experience that as they walk through a space.
It's different to maybe a conventional artist who paints on a canvas, or nothing wrong with that, of course, or someone who's making pottery or whatever it might be. What spark in your brain sent you down this path?
Yeah, God, another good question. I really love sort of 2D work as well, but I think for me, things that change my mind, I've always been interested in the earth and art about the earth, and things that kind of change my mind or make me the most interested are spaces that I can walk through, and material especially. So I grew up by the sea, and I've always been kind of watching the sea as I've been growing and changing, and it's been a really lovely, beautiful thing to experience. So for me, making art that's an experience is really important.
Is your art more interactive than other forms of art, maybe?
It's interactive in a different sense. So sometimes it's about standing back and looking. Sometimes it's about watching things change. So I had the recent exhibition I had at the Lab Gallery in Dublin. It was set up for 2 months, and I planted seeds and inside the gallery space, and I had kind of moss and natural materials growing on clay sculptures. So over the course of a few months, you could kind of watch it growing and changing as time passed. And I think that's something really important to me, that work is sort of ephemeral and not in a rigid state, because it kind of reflects the way that I like to create work, in that it doesn't really start and end with the creation of an object. It's about kind of the whole phenomenological experience of being in a space, experiencing the landscape, going foraging for materials, taking it back, creating an object, creating a space, and watching how that shifts and changes when I also step back from it. For me, what I've kind of gathered here is that I want to make work that makes people ask questions. You know, I like to make work that's a little bit ambiguous, so maybe somebody can stand back from it and say, well, what does this mean? Then they can gather their own, you know, understanding of it, because I think, you know, working with natural materials and placing them in situations that they wouldn't normally be in kind of triggers those questions. So I think making work that inspires those questions is super important to me, and it's more important than maybe making something that's beautiful or, yeah, immediately recognizable, I guess.
So Catherine, in a way, you're challenging the viewer, like you would challenge yourself, presumably, as an artist.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like maybe challenging is a bit too strong a word. I think a lot of the, because I make work about the earth and with the earth, we already see so many challenges with that in, you know, the real world, in news, in popular media, like it's everywhere. So I think rather than maybe challenge someone, I just want them to step back and ask questions and wonder about how they connect to a material and what that means, what a particular material means, and all of the layers of history and all of the possibilities for the future with this material. You know, something as small as a blue bottle fly to a really big chunk of limestone, you know, and kind of maybe horizontalizing perspective about materials, and not, you know, putting hierarchy on certain types of materials and natural objects, natural and unnatural objects. I think that's super important to me.
Coming up, we'll be back in Newtown in North Clare to hear more about the internationally recognised Burren College of Art. Welcome back to Atlantic Tales. The Burren College of Art is a small, independent art school situated on the Wild Atlantic Way on the northwest coast of County Clare. The college attracts students from all over the world and from Ireland. Catherine MacDonald is originally from Dublin, but grew up in Wexford and is also a Master of Fine Arts student at the Burren College. It was a review of a student exhibition at the college that first drew her attention to what was being done in this special corner of County Clare.
I follow an artist, Maeve McNutt. She's an Irish artist, and I've always really liked her work. But I remember I think it was 2018, 2019 maybe, she did a review of one of the grad shows here. And I read the review and I just thought the way she spoke about the work was so elegant, and the work itself was really beautiful, and it made me think about works to do with nature just in a completely different light. And that's when I started to research it, and once I saw the place where it was, I just was immediately pulled towards it. But I did my undergrad in Dublin, at Technological University Dublin, and that was really great because originally I'm from Dublin, so it was nice to be back in the space, back in the city. But towards the last sort of year, I really found how I wanted to experience my practice, and I knew that it was, you know, to do with natural materials, all of that sort of stuff. So I think I really was looking for a space like this. I really wanted to be not just in a really wonderful college, but also to be immersed in a space where I could step outside and breathe and then step back into the studio and have that time to work. So I couldn't imagine myself anywhere else.
The Burren College of Art was co-founded by husband and wife team Mary Hawkes Green and the late visionary entrepreneur and local man Michael Green. The irony that it was Michael, the man who worked in tourism, who saw the potential for an art college in the Burren, and not Mary the teacher, is not lost on her.
Yeah, and actually I had multiple degrees at the time. Michael didn't have any, because he, to be honest, schooled, you know, he was a very clever man, but the confines of the education system, it was too confining for him. And he was an ideas person. I mean, he was working in tourism, but in my view, I mean, I've met a lot of artists in the intervening years, but he's still the most creative person I've ever met, even though he wouldn't have called himself an artist. But I mean, the idea of having a blank canvas like this place was, and having a vision of having a college, you know, be able to have such a big vision and bring it into being, I mean, that's what artists do. So I suppose that, and I was the one who, of course, coming from a traditional education background, was able to say, oh, you can't do this, and you know, that's not how degrees come about, and you know, you need to have, you know, you would need to have a PhD before you can even think about doing this. So it was interesting that my education and background was limiting. It limited me, yeah. and limited my horizons. I think he didn't bother himself with such shackles, and so it allowed, you know, he was always visionary. I mean, before the idea of the college, I mean, when he was in tourism, he had, before ever it was fashionable, he had set dancing weekends, he had archaeology weekends, he knew what was just good about the place, and he'd bring people for that. He had plans in Ballyvaughan for developing a marina, because he was head of the community development group. Sadly, objections put an end to that, but he was always but it was never for himself or for ourselves. I mean, this was about, let's bring life to the area, you know, all year round. Let's bring young people into the area all year round, and also let it be the kind of people who would be good for the area. So it was never, and hence we're like, if it was, you know, we're not for profit, you know, we're so it was never about us. In fact, we were on the breadline. I used to worry about, will there be a roof over our heads when this was all happening, because it was such a huge project to undertake by two people who really, you know, it was huge, and it was very risky, I suppose. And Michael was more of a risk. We were a good combination when we eventually discovered that, because he was the visionary.
Yeah.
I'm fairly good at operations, and together we made a really good team.
When he co-founded the Burren College of Art in 1994, Michael Green had a clear vision and wanted it to be the greatest little art school in the world. In the summer of 2001, however, Mary's world was turned upside down when Michael died unexpectedly. Michael's sudden passing came as a great shock to North Clare.
It was actually, again, I suppose, in the service of the community. He was very keen on sport of all kind. I played everything, and at a high level, but then latterly he was training the local football teams, the junior teams and whatever. But then he was asked to play football one day for the local team, who were short a player, and sadly he died on the pitch. So That was a big blow. That was he was only 44, and it was 2001. So that was, we were 6 years off the ground. So. But anyway, we continued.
He'd be very proud because the dream lives on. The legacy. This is Michael's legacy.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, completely. Yeah. And I feel his spirit is here all of the time. And he's now, mind you, I do think if he was around still, God knows what we'd have. Because once something was half underway, he was on to the next thing. So, but I think he would have been very happy to see the way the place has evolved, because it is doing exactly what we wanted it to do. And for me, I suppose what's most interesting to me, apart from that, is just seeing the experience that these students have who come here. I mean, I don't ever take the place or the Burren for granted and what we have here, but it's so special. And the experience for many of them is transformational, and I don't say that lightly. I mean, this morning I had a resident artist who's in his 50s, has been here for the last 4 weeks, came in just to thank us before he left, and again he said, this has been transformational in my life, and he's in his mid-50s. So, you know, there are qualities here and that just are very, very special. And I think having the college, it enables us to bring people to this, to the Burren, and to facilitate that experience.
Would this have worked any place else in the county or the country?
I suppose I don't think so. I mean, the longer I've been in the Burren, and I'm living here now for 38, close on 40 years, the more I experience of it, the more I understand or how special it is. Don't understand, never understand it. Mm-hmm. But the more I'm affected by how incredibly unique it is. And there's a spiritual sense here, or there's something that's ineffable, but that's really, really powerful. And, you know, I hear that being fed back to me so often in different ways, but it's always been about the Burren. I mean, we said, you know, I meet every group of students who come in, and I say, you know, this is about immersing yourselves in the Burren. We have a college and we have facilities and we have a program and we have accreditation, all that enables you to be here. But really, it's about this amazing place in which you now find yourselves. So, you know, go out and be in it. And a lot of our courses and our programs are based in the Burren. Like, we have a wonderful Irish Studies course that Gordon Darcy leads. We have courses such as, like, walking as art practice. You know, it's very much connected to and using the Burren.
The location, and you mentioned, Mary, as well, how the tower, the castle here in Newtown attracted you to the place, and it was in ruin at the time. There's a lot of history here on the grounds.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, here we have, I mean, it's such an iconic building. It looks like a rocket about to take off. So there's Newtown Castle. It's very unique, actually, in structure. It's a tower house built by the O'Briens in the mid-16th century. And they had four tower houses in this valley, and obviously used for defensive purposes. But this is unique, actually, in the Republic of Ireland, because usually they were either round or square. And this is the only one that's round, coming out of a square base. And that's what gives it this, you know, this pyramidal kind of look, and, you know, gives it this base that does look like a launching pad for a rocket. So this is the only one of that kind in the country. So it was particularly, you know, it would have been an awful shame if it had fallen into ruin, which was happening. I mean, it was in very bad shape. So because it's such a significant, you know, architecturally, the Heritage Council worked with us in restoring it, because it's, you know, it's an iconic building, it's an important landmark, and it's important. So it was the O'Loughlin submitted to the O'Briens apparently at some point, and it then became an O'Loughlin castle. And I think the last person to be there was somebody who had the self-appointed title Prince of the Burren. He was an O'Loughlin. So the O'Loughlins actually have had clan gatherings, and they've had them based here. So they have assembled the history of the O'Loughlins, and there's all kinds of debate and discussion about who is what and who. But anyhow, it was an O'Loughlin castle when it was last occupied, and it has lots of very interesting and unique features, all to do with obviously being a defensive building. But the restoration was amazing. We when we decided the college was going to be opened in 1994, and President Robinson had agreed to come to do it, then we thought, well, we'd better have the castle ready as well. So that castle was restored in under a year by local, and there was a hell of a lot of work to do. But we had local carpenters, local stonemasons, and they did an incredible job, and they just worked tirelessly to have it ready. I remember the final, personally, sweeping the floor in there on the eve of the president's visit. And it was, they had it finally ready, and we had actually all those incredible tradespeople were our guests of honor at the opening of the college, because they had done such work and they had been so proud of it, and justifiably so. And it was just wonderful to feel that we had brought, you know, that building would, it would have crumbled by now if this hadn't been done, because obviously, you know, they can't restore every castle in the place. And but what I love about this is its connection with the antiquity of the area, and then we use it for our graduation ceremonies every year. The University of Galway comes, and we have in all the pomp and ceremony of our graduation, but we have it on the top floor of the castle with the blazing fire and a harpist, and like, we never have more than, we'll say, maximum 9 or 10 people graduating at a time, because we're small. And it just seems so special. I mean, I was so proud, and I think of what must the ghosts of the O'Loughlins and the O'Briens, you know, must be quite pleased actually to think that all this pomp and ceremony is happening in the castle. And then it's become a very popular venue for weddings, so that having weddings there helps us to keep, to maintain it. The income from that helps us to maintain it and to keep it insured, because we leave it open to the public free of charge all of the time. So it's, you know, it's nice that it can be used, and it's live, and there's happy events happening in there. Our students use it for poetry readings, for photographic projects. You know, it's part of the campus, but it links the old and the new, because the studios are very, and the work that goes on here is very, very contemporary. And I think that's a lovely drawbridge between the two.
As it was mentioned earlier, I had heard of the college in its early days when I was a student in Chicago. And so immediately from when the college was established, it already had this connection with Chicago in the US. But not only that, we also have, and we've maintained that partnership, so we continue to have a partnership with the School of the Art Institute in Chicago, but we also have a partnership with the Royal College of Art in London, and that's usually built around student exchanges. So even though we're in a small rural community here in the west of Ireland, you know, the periphery of the country, the periphery of Europe, we're very much connected to the US through Chicago, to Britain through the Royal College, and then we've also got other, there's a broad network of other institutional, not necessarily formal partners, but organizations and colleges that we work with. You know, I'm very active in terms of ELIA, the European, you know, the sort of European League of Institutes of Art, and so which covers the whole continent of Europe. So we've So we're part of these big networks that look at education, not just in an Irish context, but in a European context, and again in the context of North America. And I think that international, that outward-looking sensibility is reflected in terms of the students that we attract here as well. As I mentioned, we've got, you know, we've students coming from China, from India, you know, we've students come from all parts of the world, so I think that's that international footprint is a significant part of what we are as a place.
I think it's a college experience unlike anything I would have imagined. You know, studying a master's, I think I always thought about that, and it is very intense here. But I always thought about it in an intense way. But it's intense here in a very different way. Like, everybody here is so in tune with their practice, and everybody wants to help each other out, and it really feels like this really lovely microcosm of the sort of things we can experience once we maybe leave Ireland, leave, you know, the Burren College and go somewhere else with our practice. So I would definitely describe it as a different sort of college experience, just because it's so intense, it's so wonderful, but also anything is sort of possible. So I'd never put forward an idea and have, say, a lecturer, a member of staff say, maybe think smaller, you know? Everything's about thinking bigger and trying to push yourself so much with your practice and trying to keep pushing forward to get to what you really want to make. And yeah, it's just such a special place for that. I can't imagine anywhere else being as open and free with people's work, and they're always wanting you to make the work that you want to make. Nobody kind of, they push you in the right direction. They don't push you in the direction of, you know, their personal taste or things like that, which is super special.